Welcome into the Inside Pitch, Major League Baseball podcast brought to you by Freegame.com. Alongside former Major League pitcher Josh Towers, I'm Scott Seidenberg as we break down another week of Major League Baseball and get you locked into the stories that maybe people aren't talking about across the league. Josh, another weekend in the books, another week in the books, I should say, of Major League Baseball. And are we starting to see some teams separate from the pack here and either rise to the top or fall to the bottom? I know it's still early on in the season, but have you seen some of this separation over the past week or so?
Well, I mean, yeah, like, I don't know. There's always what we know, right? We talk about this each season. Like, we know the White Sox can't win and will not win. No disrespect, but our local boy out here, Eric Fetty, is basically their ace. And the offense is a team built on a bunch of guys who have never done it, but had like prospect names and aren't doing it, right? So you and I know we're crossing out the White Sox. Mm-hmm. They're out, right? We're crossing out Oakland. We know that. We're crossing out the Los Angeles Angels. I don't care how much you love them. They don't ever win. It's factual. And they have not done anything with their farm system and or in the free agents market to ever do anything. Like, so we cross them out right away. Miami, they're not it. There's a lot of reasons. Nationals, however, are not a team that you can count out. They are well coached and they have a bunch of guys whose names we don't know who do their job, and it's why they're one game below 500, which is cool, but we know they won't be there in the end because they're not going to be shoppers. It's funny, but every year too, book it, the Pittsburgh Pirates, they always start hot. This is the one team to start April, bet Pirates, right? Bet them. And as soon as May rolls around, Scotty, they lose. Well, this team decided to start losing a little bit ahead of time. I think they dropped six in a row. They're 11-11, right?
Yep.
They were 11-5. This is what they do every year, but they hit that skid already. And
but why? Let me ask you something about them. So, were they a legit 11-5, or did they benefit by playing the Marlins and Nationals to start the year?
No, they do this every year. It doesn't matter who they play. It shows me a couple things, but it shows me that this team has the ability. I mean, they got some good pitching over there, right? They have young players. The team has it, but there's no structure. They don't know who they are. They never do anything to tell the players around them that we're going to do something to win. So there's no belief in that Pittsburgh organization that they can win. Again, we talk about this too. The Tampa Bay Rays, like what? 16, 17 years ago, all of a sudden one day they go, why can't we beat the Yankees? And they haven't stopped ever since. Pittsburgh doesn't believe in themselves. I don't know if the coaching staff believes in themselves. I don't know if the front office believes in themselves. And so to start to anything, you're just excited to be back. And they play to their ability. They play to their level. And then reality hits and this happens. And it's like, oh, I don't know what to do as coaches. And so you panic. You don't trust. You don't put them in a position to exceed. You pull them out when you probably should let them get past this inning so they can learn something. I put it on the office and I put it on the coaching staff, but it shows me all the time that they have in all the divisions in baseball, Scott, they're in the right division to be able to compete, and they don't. So it's bummer to me, right? I think the organization can develop better. But I do think this team has players that can compete in that division. And there again, if it doesn't work, at some point you got to change it. You can't do the same thing every single season, watch the same exact thing happen, and then wonder why you're not winning. Nor do I think the Pirates care. Do they ever talk about it? Do they ever come out? Do you even know who their GM is? Like, it's all this little stuff that was like, when are you guys going to win? When are you going to try to win? When are you going to care? Like, I'm not a Pirates fan, but I would like to see him compete.
Especially with young star players like O'Neill and whatnot.
We're going to lose them.
You're right. Because the Pirates are just like a feeding tunnel to the Yankees, right? Players get great, and then in a couple of years, they'll go to a team that's going to pay them. So you do want to see a smaller market team like Pittsburgh. There's no reason in that city that they shouldn't have a winning franchise. It just doesn't make sense.
Milwaukee does it with the same type of roster,
right? You're
just better coached, I would say. I think some of the surprises too, obviously, is Houston. I think Houston's a big surprise. I think they're like 7-7 whatever they are. Let me find them real quick. 7-16. They got a worse record than Oakland. Who would have guessed that? 7-16. The roster on paper looks beautiful.
They can't.
They
pitch.
Got a couple pitchers. No, Hunter. Well, it's 50-50, right? Hunter Brown is not it right now. The other kid, is it Francis?
He's not it.
But then you also brought the other kid up who started a no-hitter this year, and he's 2-3-0. Fantastic, right? So you do have people that can do it, but like, remember when they went out and got Verlander, and they went out and got Greinke, and they went out and got these players, and they mixed them with their development of minor league talent that they have been bringing up. Well, they're not really making moves anymore, and the top of the lineup's getting a little older. They're going to mess around. They're going to lose the left-handed hitter who's batting two-hole for them, who probably should always be 3 or 4, like get somebody else on base and let them drive them in. One of the best hitters in the game, but like they're not bringing up the young studs, and then they haven't added in free agency. So that division, like Texas said, hey, listen, we're here. I'll spend money. Seattle, for whatever reason, has come backwards a little bit. So it's not too late to get back in that division. But what are they doing? Like they can't just be reliant on what they have.
Well, they're relying on a guy moves. And they're relying on they're too old. Like they're relying on
exactly.
Verlander comes off the IL and everyone's like, oh, Verlander is going to be the savior for this team. Now that he's coming off the IL, you know, we're going to be all right. Like you can't rely on an older guy like that. You can't rely on an older team like this.
So yeah, exactly. So take Hunter Brown out. So he's 0-3 or 0-4, whatever Hunter is. And then look, I think I wrote it down real quick. Okay. So whatever he is, let's just say Hunter Brown's 0-3. He's somewhere around there. So then let's just say we flip that and we take him out. We put JV in. And so now instead of being 7-16, they're 10-13. Well, guess what? Even if Verlander picked up the slack and went perfect for the 0-3 mark and went 3-0, they're still under 500.
Yep.
The offense isn't really doing it.
The numbers right now. You got Hunter Brown, 0-4, right?
0-4, sorry. Okay.
0-4. Yeah, 0-4 with a 9.68 ERA. JP France is 0-2 with a 7.08 ERA. It. You know, they got injuries now in that rotation as well. Javier's hurt, and he was their best pitcher. He was their best pitcher, and now he's hurt. So it's this team, it's and Javier, it's neck discomfort. So when you hear a pitcher has neck discomfort, are you concerned with that?
Yeah, I mean, again, we look sideways, right? We don't. Mm-hmm. We definitely don't say exactly what's happening unless it's TJ or something like that. I have to look sideways down the barrel of the gun, right? And then I got to be, my body's twisting all over, and I got to change direction. Hopefully it's something. Hopefully it is discomfort. Hopefully it's tightness.
Let me ask you something. Could neck discomfort be a result of pain coming from somewhere else? Because when I tore my rotator cuff, I thought that I thought I pinched a nerve in my neck. It was really weird. Okay. So I took a swing and I was like, oh man, my neck hurts. Like after this swing, like, man, like, I don't know what's wrong with me. And then I kind of played the rest of the game. And every time I took a swing, I was like, damn, like there's something wrong with my neck. Like, I don't know what's up here. And I a couple of days go by and I was like, man, like my neck is really bothering me. And I go to the doctor and the doctor's like, yeah, dude, it's like your shoulder. It's not your neck. It was my non-throwing shoulder. It was my left shoulder, right? Because it more had to do with I did something on the swing rather than throwing, right? So that's why I didn't feel it like the rest of the game or anything, because it's not like I was throwing with my left hand. So I wouldn't feel my shoulder have a torn rotator cuff. But yeah, like I felt it in my neck. So like when you hear a pitcher that has neck discomfort, do you think like, you hope it's not a worst case scenario like I had, but do you think like it could be like something that's not just a stiff neck? Like neck is dangerous, man.
Yeah, no, I mean, again, my knee bone's connected to my cheekbone, right? I mean, it's the reality of it. You hope not. You hope not. I don't like back pain, man. Once you start getting your back injured, it's hard to ever come back from that type of stuff. So So you hope not. I don't know. I mean, it could be anything. It could literally could have just slept on it wrong. But, you know, again, if it lingers for too long, then we know that we have some issues.
Yeah, they put him on the 15 day IL. They're just calling it neck discomfort. They say that he tried to work through it, and this is the part that I don't like. He said that it just came out of nowhere. So I don't like it when pain just comes out of nowhere. To take his spot in the rotation, they're recalling Spencer Arrighetti, who started the season with the Astros. He went 0-2 with an 11.57 ERA.
Yeah, it didn't go well. I'm chilling off from a guy. I like the guy too, but it didn't go well.
It did not go well.
So what do we got here? We got Blanco, who's been perfect, right? But is that going to keep up? He's younger as well. Hunter Brown hasn't been getting it done. JP Francis is, honestly, I don't mean no disrespect, but he's not it. Luis Garcia is on the 60-day. Mm-hmm. Graveman also is on the 60-day. Christian Javier, as you said, is on the 15-day. Lance McCullers, I don't think we're ever going to see again. I don't think we've seen him in a couple of years.
And it's just, Verlander back now from injury, so you hope he's going to put together the starts.
Get him, we got to build him up. Urquidy's missing. They are missing, right? So they're missing their core, right?
Yeah.
They're missing Verlander. They're missing Framber. They're missing Urquidy. They're missing, I don't count McCullers. He's been out. They're missing Javier. They're missing four of their World Series playoff stars, right? So they are, but again, it shows you the importance of depth. It shows you the importance of having a roster. It shows you the importance of why you go and get a Chris Sale or a Yusei Kikuchi, why you have 6 and 7 starters that you can rely on, that you go to, because we all know we're going to get hurt. And I know somebody's got to sit it out and wait, but this is why, as an organization, we need to win. So again, 4 of their 5 key guys are out. And then you talk about the addition of Blanco, who's been nothing but a dream for them. He's been fantastic. So getting those guys back will help, but what did you say, dude, they were doing offensively as a team?
They're hitting them. They're mashing, bro. They're hitting.
They're mashing, right?
If you look at the advanced numbers, like you look at WRC plus and you look at like the weighted runs created, and you want to see like who the top teams in Major League Baseball are. They are 4th in baseball in WRC plus behind Atlanta, Baltimore, and Milwaukee. So analytically speaking, this is the 4th best offense in baseball. Like
I was
in terms of producing runs.
Yeah, they're hitting .266, which is the 3rd best in the league. Mm-hmm. The run scored isn't there, however. So they're hitting .266, but they got 96 runs compared to Atlanta with 125 or Milwaukee with 114 or Baltimore with 122. Like the run scored isn't there, so they're not moving them over. They're not manufacturing. So we're missing there. Home runs seem to be just fine. Obviously, the run scored RBIs aren't going to be there. So they got to figure that part out. Everything else offensively seems to do it. So, but they're not getting them over or getting them in when they need to. But it just shows you, we talk about this, God, to them, the game will never change when it comes to this. No matter how much we alter with the games and the rules, it'll never change when it comes to, if you want to win over 162 games, if you want to win in the postseason, if you want to win a World Series, you have to have pitching and defense. You have to. So this team is 16? They're 7-16. They're the 3rd best technically hitting team in baseball, and they're 7-16. So you can hit all you want, but offense is not going to win at this level consistently. It shows you the importance of pitching. Okay, so then we go to the Cleveland Guardians, man. They're 16-6. This team's great. What are they hitting? Pretty good, .257. They got a lot of guys, but they strike out a lot. But they got a lot of guys that are stepping up. They don't walk a lot. They don't get on base a lot, but they're doing a decent job hitting. They're scoring a lot of runs, but their pitchers are keeping them, you know, within the parameters of we have a chance to win, and then their back end of their bullpen does pretty well. But again, you need to pitch to have any opportunity at winning. This stuff just links. And without their pitching, right, it's like the offense goes and scores 3 and I give up 4 the very next inning. It's instantly deflatable and the team just doesn't know what to do. What's Minnesota's record? You got that up? Because they're the second worst hitting team in baseball.
Minnesota to start the year, they are at 7-13, which is just as bad as the Astros. Astros 7-16, Minnesota 7-13.
And this is outside of the White Sox. This is the worst. I mean, they're hitting 195, on base is 281, 17 homers as a team, right? This team, five stolen bases, that's it. I mean, they're not even trying to manufacture runs. They're not even trying to, okay, we're not hitting, but let's not move, guys. We're not hitting, but not let's not run. So imagine this, dude. I'm a pitcher. I'm facing the Twins. I know offensively they can't get it done. And the random time, so I don't ever have to give in to you because I know you guys aren't hitting. So I'm going to challenge you at all costs. And let's say you get on base. Let's say magically you work a walk because I'm just going at it. I don't care. You get on base. I now never have to worry, not at all, that you're going to try to steal. So I'm in the stretch position with guys on base, and I know that I don't ever have to. So you do not have my attention diverted because I know that you have six attempts, Scott, all season. So now I can just focus right back on the hitter and never be distracted. You're just making this a dream for me to pitch against. Like, so what is Minnesota doing, right? How can we back them betting when we know offensively they're not going to get done and they're not going to attempt to get it done? They're not going to try to alter, to hit and run, to bunt, to do anything. They're not going to try to use their wheels. So now the only way Minnesota can win is, and we'll go back over here, like you just said, we'll go team pitching. The only way Minnesota is going to be able to win, it looks like to me.
The only way they win is if Bailey Ober does what he did the other day when they got the win. They snapped their five-game losing streak. He threw six shutout innings. So unless you're going to have, whether it's Lopez or Ober, pitch six shutout innings, you're not going to win any games.
But you know what that does to me, again, as a pitcher on that team, knowing that they're scoring two runs a game or whatever, I know that I can never give up a run. I was like, man, I got to strike everybody out. I can't give up a run. And so that'll start to mount as the season goes on. If this offense stays pedestrian like this, that's going to start to mount on the pitcher. So even the good pitchers are going to try to do a little too much because they know second and third, I can't give up a run. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. So, and the next thing you know, I'm going to try to throw bastard pitches out of the gate. And it's not going to work out. And then there's a big inning that I could have kept to one or two, but now it's a big inning because I'm trying to do too much. This team, if they don't do something quick, Minnesota's they're going to be out of this before they even blink, man. That's a bad recipe right there.
Let's take a look at the schedules this week for both the Astros and the Minnesota Twins, two teams that, as we just talked about, are struggling significantly. Off day here on Monday, and then a three-game set in Chicago for the Astros, and that'll be followed by a short two-game weekend series against the Colorado Rockies, and that game is being played. Those games are... Where is that? Those are neutral site games. So give me a second. Let me find out. That is Saturday. Where are they playing these games? It's a special. Mexico City. They're playing in Mexico City, which means, which you know what that means.
Offense.
That means that, thin air, the totals are going to be through the
roof. It's playing on the moon. It's like 7,800 feet in the air. I've been there. I've played there.
Yeah,
the ball, it's a Colorado Springs, right? It doesn't come down.
Yeah, so we're going to see some massive totals for those two games between the Astros and the Rockies. So that's the schedule there for the Astros. As for the Minnesota
That doesn't bode well, right, Scott? Real quick, I mean, they better hope their pitching matchup matches up well because the Cubs are a respectful team. So you're going to go into Chicago and play this and you're struggling.
And then you got to go to Mexico City to play the Rockies.
Right, and I know it's the Rockies, and they're no good, but you're talking about a neutral site game.
Great equalizer. That means it's great 50-50. Equalizer.
Right, yeah. Right.
Yeah, because the Rockies could just hit a bunch of home runs, and it's a great equalizer there. the Minnesota Twins coming up this week, will begin a series here on Monday, four games against the White Sox, and then they'll head out west for three games in L.A. against the Angels over the weekend. So could be a get-right week for the Twins. Yeah. They got Paddock going on Monday, Lopez on Tuesday, Ryan on Wednesday, and Ober on Thursday. So they got the pitching edge in all of these matchups. They'll be favored in every single game against Chicago. So maybe a get right series for Minnesota this week.
They're going to need it. Well, they also cut you off, dude. Sorry. They also have like Varland, right? That huge prospect.
Yeah.
Who's 0-3 with like an 8. And if he continues to struggle, we might see a flip flop where they send Varland down and they call Simeon Woods Richardson up, another young kid who got his first big league win the other day versus Detroit, where he went, I think, 6 innings and gave up 1 run. But yeah, that big prospect for them, Varland, great kid, but he's not getting it done right now either on the pitching side. So we could easily see a change there. You can't let these young kids get stomped on too long in the big leagues because it destroys our confidence. Well, but
I'm glad you mentioned that, because I didn't want to transition and ask you about Jack Leiter's first start.
We
had talked about this, and you know, you say it all the time. It goes one of two ways. The kids either pitch a gem or the kids get rocked. So Jack Leiter, the number 2 overall pick from a couple of years ago, son of Al Leiter, he makes his major league debut against the Tigers for the Rangers. In the first inning, strikes out 2 batters in the first inning, but then gives up 4 runs in the second inning, gives up another 3 runs in the fourth inning. His final stat line, 3-2 innings, 8 hits, 7 runs, 3 walks, 3 strikeouts, and the day after the game gets optioned back to AAA.
That was always going to happen, right? We always knew that was going to happen. He wasn't coming up to stay. He was coming up to fill a spot that they needed real quick. With that said, listen, he's flat. I don't care. You could throw 100. Barry Bonds always said, you could throw 120 miles an hour. I just got to catch it with the bat. He's flat. He's up. You guys can't see me on camera, but dude, where I release it, where you decide you got to swing, which is about halfway, where you get it, if it's all in the same level, I'm getting rocked as a pitcher. So there's no depth. And now I can't tunnel my pitches off each other because their separation is going to be too massive. And so hitters are going to take. Here's the deal. I don't know what they're doing with this kid. I know his confidence is shot. I've been in that situation. I told you, I went 0-3 and 0-9 in 2002. I was 0-12 and got released by the Orioles. I deserve that, right? You got to go home and make an adjustment. But this guy is so mental. He is thinking, okay, do this, then you got to do this, then you got to do this. And he is so trapped in his own brain that he can't even throw. There is no freedom or fun in what he's doing. And whoever is allowing him to start with his glove in his hand on his left shoulder, then he's going over his head, then he's coming back down as he's starting to go home. Now his hands are coming back to his right side where they should have been. And as he's going to throw, his body's out racing his arm. Hence, his arm drops and the balls are flat. And so there's no life on his pitches. Who in their right mind as a pitching coach allows this to happen? With that said, Scott, this is my problem with baseball. And this is where you and I are going to take advantage of it from a betting perspective, because the analytic machines, right, the Rapsodos, all these things, they don't tell you anything about what I just said. They just show you spin numbers.
Yep.
And if you can get somewhere in a certain area, then like, oh, this pitch is good. This pitch is doing better. But it's irrelevant if they're up. It's irrelevant if it's middle. You can't get to having that good downhill extended finish with late life when you're starting on your left shoulder, rotating back to the center to your right to separate the pitch, but your body's already gone. Or then, oh, I got to overly slow everything down to time up. Then the time, it's like, bro, like, have we really forgot about mechanics, about pitching, about baseball, about fundamentals? Have we really lost our mind? We're letting one of the most talented kids we've seen in a long time, whose uncle, I think, played in the big leagues.
No, his dad. It's Al Leiter's father.
Oh, it's his. Okay, so his dad. Yeah. And we're really allowing this to happen with this young man. Like, I'm so blown away. And again, I could sit here and see. I was in shock when I watched that game. But again, you and I called it. There was another kid that came up, I think, from Baltimore. He's like 34, hasn't pitched in like 8 years. First start and ever. Dealt. There's another guy that came up this year, first major league start. Dealt. And then there's the flip side. Leiter comes up, first major league start. Gets destroyed. Again, it's one or the other, man. It's one or the other. But I feel bad because whoever's allowing him to pitch like this, whoever is his coach, whoever's talking to him the most, has this kid so mentally destroyed that there's no relaxation or freedom in his life.
Yeah, that is a bummer.
It is.
A disappointment for sure. Absolutely.
But here's my thing. there's a chance that it doesn't ever come back, right? This is why we have to, at some point, let these kids know they also play a game and you're allowed to fail and it's fun, but you're also as a professional, so we're allowed to make adjustments. Like, this is why we have to talk to him, because he can easily render this ship and become one of the best pitchers we've ever seen, but he can also never show up again. What's the kid for Houston that's done? Forrest, whatever, the number one prospect in baseball a couple of years ago that went to the academies and was crow hopping into a wall. He was a number one prospect in baseball, and he's nowhere to be found. I think his name was Forrest. I don't remember the rest of his name, but it's like
Forrest Whitley.
Forrest Whitley. Yeah, we can lose him so fast, man.
Are you thinking of Camille Rocker?
No, but he's with Texas as well. Because they took him as well. They took him after the Mets messed that whole thing up. Texas took Rocker right after they took Leiter the year after. It might be. I'm pulling up Whitley real quick. So let me see. Because he was the number one prospect in baseball. Yeah, it could be him in 2023. He was 1-2 with a 5.7. This year he's 1-0 with a 7.2 ERA. He's got five games in AAA, but none of them are starts. He only has five innings, so his five appearances, one inning at a time. So I don't know what they're doing with him. But in 22, he was 0-2 with a 6.5 in 19. So apparently 20 and 21, that was the last year. 3-7 with an 8. Yeah, I think that was the kid. Like, he went from the number one prospect in baseball to loss. Clearly, they had to protect him, and no one took him. And now he's a reliever who has five innings, five hits, four runs, all earned, and three home runs. And they called, they called him up. You just said it, right? So this kid is a 7.2 ERA, five innings, five hits, four runs, three home runs in AAA. And they called him, they rewarded him. We don't have to earn anything. So we're calling these kids to the big leagues and rewarding them for absolutely nothing. What are they learning? What is their incentive to do better? What is their incentive to go to the drawing board? Like, I feel bad because this kid is just going to go to the big leagues and you're not going to right the ship there. The guys are too good.
This is RJ, and here's what I know for sure. In the last few years, there's been a change in what people wear. Maybe it was COVID. Maybe it's the evolution of things. I don't know. But what I know is this. There's a merging. The things that maybe before you had this outfit for the beginning of the day, then later you have another outfit. No. The lines, they're blurring. And you know American Giant is the company to help you take advantage of that. This spring, whether you're dressing for work, the gym, or happy hour, you'll have something you love in your closet from American Giant. Their classic full-zip hoodie is iconic, and it's the jacket that started it all for American Giant. It's a body-slimming fit with double-lined hood, and the reinforced elbow patches mean the hoodie will last. Find a closet staple for every part of your spring days at American-Giant.com, and get 20% off your first order when you use the code RJ at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, promo code RJ.
So in this version of Josh's Tower, where we kind of do some power rankings, I guess we can say we're going with some disappointments this week. And we've already talked about two of them in the Minnesota Twins and the Houston Astros, and a big disappointment, the third one being Jack Leiter's Major League debut. So we're going through Josh's Tower, which is of disappointment. Josh's Tower of disappointment this week.
But we made money. But we made money, man. Like, we talked, right? I mean, what was the over-under? I think it was 5. That was over by the second inning.
The first 5
about
total?
This? Yeah. Texas won that game.
Yes, they did. Yeah, 9-7. Yeah, it was back and forth. So let's talk about some players that we really are disappointed in right now. And I think we can start with a player on a team, and really the team has been disappointing. So I'm gonna give you a couple of players here, and maybe we should just go a team vote. But the St. Louis Cardinals, Josh, should make your Josh's Tower should make your power list, your power ranking of disappointing teams. So right now the St. Louis Cardinals are 9-13 to start the year. But let me just give you some individual numbers. Paul Goldschmidt is batting 173. Nolan Gorman is batting 178. That is unacceptable for 20-something games into the season, 20 games into the season, you have two of the top pieces in your lineup batting under the Mendoza line?
Nolan Arenado and Goldschmidt have one home run each.
How is that possible? Did these guys just not do anything in spring training?
Yeah, I don't know what adjustments we are making. Like every year I'm making an adjustment to get better. If I fail at a bad year, I'm trying to right that ship, right? If I had a good year, I'm trying to maintain there. There's adjustments that constantly have to be making. You can't just do the same thing over and over again. If you own me, I'm going to make an adjustment. Every time I pitch to Scott Seiberg, I pitch him away. He lights me up. Well, guess what? At some point, I'm going in. At some point, I'm going up. At some point, I'm going down. At some point, I'm using it. Like, I got to make an adjustment. Well, we see this from the Cardinals quite often, right? They always have this beautiful team on paper. And it's like once every, three or four years, they win a division and go to the playoffs. And then we're disappointed every year. Yeah, the Nolan Gorman thing, he's still is young. So he's never given us anything outside of he was a high round draft pick and a big name, but God, he's got all the potential in the world. The Goldschmidt thing, you almost don't want to panic, but again, we're 21 games in, dude. You're an MVP. And then the rest of the team is the rest of the team, right? We're never really, I mean, they're the Cardinals, man. They're not, but they got Sonny Gray, and this guy's been nothing but phenomenal the last 2 years. He's got a one ERA. And he's 2-1 in three starts, right? I mean, like, this guy's dealing. Michaelis is, for whatever reason, the guy they keep going to their horse. He's not it. He's 1-3 with a 6. They took Lance Lynn back. He's having a better year than I think would expect.
Oh,
given how
come on.
He's, Lance but Lynn no, stinks. He's awful, but he's got a 2 ERA in four starts. Like, I agree, he stinks, but at least he's not absolutely killing them, because I didn't think after the way he looks in spring training,
yeah,
he would do anything. They picked up Kyle Gibson. Now, he's not the greatest thing in the world, but he did good for Baltimore. And I always felt like Kyle has some of the best stuff, but never really been taught to pitch or too stubborn to learn. But, he's not doing it. Giovanni Gallegos, he hasn't been doing it ever since he gave up the home run in the World Baseball Classic. He kind of fell off the ship. Steven Matz isn't it. Liberatore has been this prospect, a big prospect. He's doing fine out of the pen, but he was a star. Like, they don't bring anything to the table. I don't look at this team as a team I can bet on. I mean, Sonny Gray's your best pitcher. He's not getting run support. So, like, I can't really bet on this team. And they're not doing anything from either side of the ball believe.
They lost on Sunday, 2-0 to the Brewers. They got swept by the Brewers. Your pitcher struck out 12 batters and only gave up 2 runs, and you lost that game.
They're 3-6 at home right now, dude. At home.
Yeah.
They're 3-6.
And we're supposed to be excited about that ballpark. Not exactly a home field advantage right now. Here's the schedule this week for the Cardinals, as maybe there's opportunities to fade them this week. So they have a 3-game set at home against Arizona. Starts here on Monday. Lance Lynn starts the opener. And then they go to New York to face the Mets for 3 games. We'll have Sonny Gray on Saturday going up against Adrian Hauser. So maybe there is an opportunity to back them with Sonny Gray on the mound. But I don't want a piece of them in any of these games. I mean, Arizona's a better team, and the Mets have been hot. The Mets just took 2 of 3 from the Dodgers.
The Mets are playing well. I mean, Jose Buto's been pitching phenomenal for them. This is somebody I wanted to talk about. Buto's been fantastic. They're not letting him go deep, like maybe 6, which I don't like, so their bullpen better be on point. But Buto in his last 3 starts has been phenomenal. So he's given them a shot that I always saw coming. I used to coach this kid, so I know what he brings to the table. But he's been great. Luis Severino, kind of written off. He's 2-1 with the 2-4. If that dude even remotely comes close to what his old form was and is healthy, I mean, this is a legit contender every year for Cy Young if he ever stays healthy. He's that good of a talent. So I didn't realize until recently my old manager with the Blue Jays, John Gibbons, is their bench coach. You talk about putting a guy on the bench that players absolutely love. So Mets finally make a great move on the coaching side to get somebody that players love. So there's a little bit of a baby bright spot. I'm not gonna go past that with the Mets, because they are the New York Mets, right? But You know, they got some guys, right? They got Severino, they got Buto, they got Megill. I'm gonna pull this roster up real quick. They got some.
Yeah,
Diaz is obviously healthy. Mm-hmm.
That's a big
Hauser has been. Hauser's been great.
Hauser got rocked on Sunday against the Dodgers, but you know, a lot of people.
Jorge Lopez in the pen. I agree. I don't really believe in Sean Manaea. Ottavino's not it for me, but Jose Quintana, reliable, fantastic veteran of baseball that's always going to give you a chance. This team, do they have enough to win this division? Do they have enough to make the playoffs in this division? No, they do not. But they have some pieces in place that if they wanted to go and get some other people, they could definitely compete for a wild card if they're willing to, right? But they are in a very, very tough division.
Mets schedule this week starting on Monday, 3 games in San Francisco, and then that 3-game set at home against St. Louis. The Giants were a team that the Giants were a team that we talked about before. They split their 4-game set with Arizona. And so, you know, this is the middle of a home stretch here. This week, 3 games at home against the Mets, 3 games at home against the Pirates. And we know the Pirates are struggling. San Francisco 10-13. But are you seeing anything with the Giants that you like? Are you seeing anything that you don't like? I mean, Logan Webb now has got a 2.93 ERA. I mean, he's their ace. Blake Snell is probably what you're disappointed in because the guy stinks. The Cy Young winner from last year comes over from the Padres. He's got an 11.57 ERA and an 0-3 record.
I'm not disappointed. This is exactly what I expected, right? We saw this a few years back. When you miss spring training, it is almost impossible to catch up. You miss the most valuable time to create game-ready situations to prepare for the season. You can't do that anywhere else. Not to mention, he has like a career 6 ERA in April anyways. He did it again last year, but Blake Snell does. So he's a bad starter. And then he missed spring training. This is exactly what I thought. And then he has the pressure of thinking he's going to opt out after 1 year to go get another contract. Listen, if no one gave you a contract after your Cy Young year, who's going to give you a contract after this year unless you back it up and win the Cy Young again? It's not going to happen. You turn down 160 from the New York Yankees, you're winning your division and going to the postseason, son, with a chance to win a ring this year. But for whatever reason, you're too afraid to pitch in New York. So you sign a 2-year deal that you're going to opt out after one. You might be stuck on this 2-year deal now because it's going to be very hard for him to right this ship after missing spring training and being a slow starter. So no, with Snell, I think it's exactly what was expected on the start of a season for him. The missing the spring training, I can't emphasize, is too tough.
All right. Well, I'm going to give you a bet this week. Then we're going to look at Wednesday.
He's building his arm strength during the season, right? So what did he go, like 3-3? He's going 5 innings max, and that's a fantastic start.
So let's go Wednesday's game.
Yep.
It's the Mets at the Giants. Blake Snell starting for the Giants. Sean Manaea is starting for the Mets. Now, remember, Sean Manaea played for the Giants last year. Mm-hmm. And I'm just looking at his career splits for Sean Manaea real quick. Not great. I was about to say his career at Oracle Park in San Francisco, 3.44 ERA. That's actually not bad. A 3.44 career ERA and 86.1 innings pitched in San Francisco, but it's a place that he's familiar with. It's a place that he's pitched a lot of games, right? He's pitched 86 innings on that mound, whether he was visiting from when he played with Oakland or he played with San Diego, or, you know, whether he was starting for the Giants last year. And so we have Manaea coming back to a place that he's familiar with. We have Snell, who stinks. And guess what? The Mets will probably be underdogs in that game. I'll take the plus money with the Mets.
Oh, no, Scotty. We're definitely taking the Mets. Listen, Sean Manaea, he went 6 innings on no runs on one hit. Then he went 5 innings in one run. And then he gets rocked by Kansas City, which Kansas City sneaks up and rocks a lot of people. You go there and think they always do this. And then he rebounded in L.A. and went 5 innings and gave up 2 runs, right? So he's 1-1 before one, but no, he's having 3-4 starts. He's been good, right?
Yeah.
He's going to go 5 or 6 for them. Blake Snell's not, and Blake Snell's not it, right? I don't even care if the Mets are -130, it's still the play. But you're right. We're going to get plus money on the Mets. It's 100% the play. First five or game, doesn't matter.
Yeah, that's Wednesday. It's going to be a 3:45 Eastern time start, so late afternoon game, which is a 12:45 afternoon start here on the West Coast, and that game is in San Francisco. Mets and Giants on Wednesday, Blake Snell against Sean Manaea. So that's one that we're going to be targeting for sure. Elsewhere around baseball, in terms of possible games that we could be targeting this week, just want to run through the schedule. Here on Monday, Ranger Suarez is starting for the Phillies. The Phillies are starting to play really good baseball. How impressed are you with Ranger Suarez, who this year he has I like to look at the advanced stats. So like the expected ERAs versus the actual ERAs. So like he's got a phenomenal 1.73 ERA, but his expected ERA is 2.05. That is the lowest expected ERA in Major League Baseball. Ranger Suarez, he's been great.
He challenges you. He pitches in really well. The thing that we like when you watch him pitch to the average fan, it's not exceptional. He doesn't have this nasty, nasty stuff. But what I see and what hitters see is the latest possible movement. And listen, if you can see a sinker sinking on TV, then in real life, it's sinking like three times that much. It's nasty. If they don't, the perception is so different. And his ball is ridiculous. Like, this guy is so good, such late movement. He ties guys up. It looks like it's down the middle. They swing. The ball disappears. He's got 26 innings. He's got his 4 walks and 27 strikeouts on 16 hits. Like, this guy he's been like this. He's done this in the postseason. He's done this in the regular season. If he gives up a run, it's in the first inning. I bet if you look at his first inning ERA, it's probably pretty high career-wise as well. And then he decides he doesn't want to give up any more runs, and he doesn't.
Yeah, he's been phenomenal. Let me ask you about another pitcher who I'm intrigued by. Yadiel Rodriguez for the Blue Jays. He's 27 years old. He's from Cuba. We saw him pitch in the World Baseball Classic, and then he gets signed. Not many people know much about this kid.
I'm on that list.
He's made 2 major league starts now this year for the Blue Jays. He went 3 2/3 against the Rockies. 4 hits, 1 run, struck out 6. And then against the Padres on Friday, a game I was actually at, he goes 4 innings, 3 hits, 1 run. It was just the Fernando Tatis solo home run. He strikes out 7. He's got a 2.35 ERA with 13 strikeouts in 2 starts. Hasn't gone deep into the games. He's only thrown, you know, he's threw 68 pitches in his first start, 83 in his next start, but this is an intriguing prospect here for the Blue Jays.
Yeah, I knew nothing about him when they signed him. So it's nice that he's doing a good job because they need it. I mean, obviously, Manoa's nowhere to be found. You know, Yusei's doing a great job again like he did last year. He started off fantastic last year. He's doing it again. What's their record, by the way? Berrios is having a phenomenal. It's 4-0 with a .8.
Yeah.
Bassett is like 50-50 on his starts. Gausman's struggling like nobody's business, but you expect him to turn it around. To have Rodriguez step up and do this has been great. The bullpen has to get a little bit better, but again, if the Blue Jays want any chance of winning, this pitching staff has to get it done.
Yeah, well, Gausman kind of rebounded against the Yankees, and that was a good series for them. They took 2 of 3 from New York and then 2 of 3 from the Padres out west. So
right after you and I talked about how the Yankees are starting to
separate
a little bit.
Well, we talked about how good they were, but then you were mentioning how, you know, you can see some signs there. And
they started to.
Yeah, Gausman bounced back against them big time. But Soto's still incredible though.
So check out the Blue Jays record, right? They're 12-10.
Yep. They just took 2 of 3 from the Yankees and 2 of 3 from the Padres.
Yeah, because they can pitch. That's my point. But then if you go back and look at their offense, they're 235, 14 bags. That's it. Only 20 homers as a team. This is a very poor hitting team. They do so much wrong. But again, what carried them last year? This phenomenal starting pitching. And it's doing it again. I mean, again, outside of Gausman, but he had that good start. And we know he'll rebound. He needs to close up. But outside of that, like, the pitching staff is what it got. Imagine if the Blue Jays had any offense, any offense, or Snyder, let them go. Like, let these kids play. Stop babying. Stop panicking in the sixth inning and let them go. But again, that pitching staff, we're giving examples all over baseball. Pitching is what wins, man. Pitching wins. You can't be afraid. You got to start. We wrote down some names, dude. You got to start trusting these guys like Zach Wheeler. He's 1-3 with a 2. Zach Wheeler's going to come to the mound.
He gets no run support.
Right, that's my point, though. But people still want to put him on every damn parlay. Don't. Stop. Yep. You're going to make more money betting against him.
You ready for this? So, let's see. I'm looking at this season run support-wise. So,
give it to me.
Chris Flexen has gotten zero run support. I mean, well, let's not count that.
And he needs it.
Let's not count the White Sox because the White Sox stink, right?
No, they're terrible. Yeah.
Yeah. Zach Wheeler, 4 starts, right? His run support is 1.5. That's 1.5. 1.5 runs per game. He's 0-4.
Yes. When Roy Halladay takes the mound, and I'm not saying he's Roy Halladay, but he's so good. But when guys take the mound as a team that we know are going to dominate and go 7 innings and then we're going to be good, for whatever reason, you relax. It doesn't change. Roy never got run support. And so when Roy won all those games, it's because he threw complete game shutouts. And so it's not going to change. Zach's not going to, I mean, he'll get every now and again, he'll get a game. But the reality is bet unders knowing he's going to dominate and they don't score or pull the Jacob DeGrom theory and just bet against him. And you're going to get plus 200 every time.
That was my favorite. Every time. That was my favorite thing to do. There was a stretch of 2 years.
Yeah.
Where I was the guy. Everyone knew me as the fade DeGrom guy. It was my fade DeGrom system because there was a 2 year span where Jacob DeGrom, that was when he won back to back Cy Young Awards. He was the best pitcher on the planet, literally. In that 2 year span, the Mets had a losing record in his starts.
Yeah. And you made so much money betting against
them. The top run support in Major League Baseball
it's got to be the Indians.
Well, I'm looking at guys that have made like multiple starts. So like, let's go Grayson Rodriguez of the Orioles. Grayson Rodriguez's run support is 9.5.
And he's pitching good. So
and
there's
he's got
your
a, he's got,
there's,
and he's there's, got a two, he's 4-0. He's got a 2.62 ERA, but he's got
so there's
9.5 run support.
So he's given up 2 and they're scoring none. So we're going to run support Grayson Rodriguez, right? Hey, go to the Indians real quick because Logan Allen's 3-0 with a 5 and Tanner Beebe's 2-0 with a 4.5.
So let's see. You want to see Tanner Beebe? Tanner Beebe
or Logan Allen.
Tanner Beebe has 8.25 of run support. And
what's
Logan? 6.75.
There you go.
Tanner Beebe is more. That's the more shocking one when you have.
And he's not. So, and he's not, he only has 2 in those starts wins, right? So like, it just shows you those guys probably aren't sustainable to back, but maybe those are overs that we want to mess around with.
Yeah. Or maybe like these could be fade candidates because these could be guys that are getting
eventually
regression.
They're going to fade. Yes.
So like Tanner Beebe's 4-0, but he's getting 8.25 runs per game of support. So maybe we start betting against Tanner Beebe and the Guardians. Let's see who else.
Agree.
Max Fried. Max Fried is 4-0. He's got a 7.71 ERA, by the way. 8.5 runs of support. Like
he'll take it.
You think?
pick me up until I can right this ship. I appreciate you, boys.
Yeah,
that's the way it is, man.
Javier Assad of the Cubs has got a. Yeah. He is 2-1 with a 2.16 ERA. So he's pitching great. But 7.67 runs per game of support.
Okay, and then go to Cutter Crawford of Boston because he's 1-0 in 5 starts with a .66 ERA. 1 win in 5 starts, and he hasn't given up a run a game. Not even barely a half a run a game. What's
four.
His? 0?
4.
Why isn't he winning?
Yeah, they're just not scoring.
Are they pulling him before 5?
Probably. Let's let you know his
27 innings and 5 starts.
Yeah, he's got let's see here. He is at 6 innings, 5 2/3, 5 innings and 4 2/3.
There you go.
Yeah.
Go deep, Cutter. Jeez.
You got to go deep. All right. It's going to be an exciting week of Major League Baseball. There's lots of good pitching matchups. We just talked about some of the guys that we could be interested
in. Can I add one more? Yeah, one more.
Is this a fade candidate or a guy that you're going to back?
I've never said this before in his career, but Reed Detmers of the Angels is 3-0 with a 1-1-9. Angels are playing a little bit better baseball this year, and Reed has really figured it out. So this is a guy like Paul Blackburn of Oakland. This is a guy that, you know, he's a first five play. I say more than anything because the Angels bullpen, you got to be careful on trusting, just like unless you can get it to the closer in Oakland, just like the middle of their pen. But Reed Detmers has been fantastic, and they're hovering around 500.
Yeah, so Detmers is going to start here on Monday against the Orioles, and then he'll start. Let's see. This start here against the Orioles is Detmers against Albert Suarez. Actually, Angels are favored. Angels are minus 122.
Yeah, and that's fair. The kid pitcher for the Orioles is the kid who's like 34, made his first start in baseball. We haven't seen him on the map in like 6 years, and he did really well. He went like five or six innings and gave up, I don't think, any runs.
Five and two-thirds, three hits, no runs.
I counted him as kind of like your first major league start because it's been so long that he's been around our game. But I can quickly see a regression on him right away, too. So I wouldn't mind the Angels' first five in that game.
Okay, we'll take a look. Let's see what the first five lines. So they're minus 122 for the game, and first five innings, they're minus 135. Yeah, so even higher for the first five innings. And then Detmers is going to start again on this week. So you get two starts from Detmers on Sunday against Minnesota at home. Pablo Lopez goes for Minnesota. I'm going to take the under in that game. That's a 107 start Sunday afternoon in Anaheim. That is going to be a low scoring game, Angels and Twins on Sunday.
I did take Lopez under the other day and got destroyed.
Right. He is former Major League pitcher Josh Towers. I'm Scott Seidenberg. This has been the Inside Pitch brought to you by pregame.com. Let me tell you how you guys can save some money at pregame.com. If you use the promo code Homer20, you get 20% off any purchase at pregame.com. That includes the MLB All Access subscription. Now, you can get one of two packages. You can get the Through the World Series package or through the All-Star break if you only want to do half a season. Do that. But either way, you can take 20% off that entire purchase using the promo code Homer20 for listeners of this podcast. For Josh Towers, I'm Scott Seidenberg. We will talk to you next time right here on the Inside Pitch.